here's a story from The World.
The pandemic has, of course, had multiple effects. Consider what a setback it's been for women's health care. There's been a huge rise in unintended pregnancies and maternal deaths. It's also become harder for women to access contraception and prenatal care. South African Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng is addressing the UN General Assembly about COVID's impact on sexual health this week. Dr. T, as she's known, is the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health and joins us now from New York. According to the UN Population Fund, some 47 million women worldwide are now unable to access contraception due to COVID. What's happening and how did the pandemic change the equation?
It's so important to realize that the pandemic, you know, was really an emerging, rapidly evolving and dynamic health emergency, which saw many resources in terms of financial and human resources being diverted to so-called COVID-19 response teams. And that unfortunately meant that many other health services were left with unmet need for goods, services, and also healthcare providers. And I decided to focus my report to the General Assembly on the impact of sexual and reproductive health rights, because I do think that the impact of COVID has to be understood holistically and from all the different angles.
Doctor, what have you seen in South Africa in your own clinic? What have you experienced?
We have experienced more delays in people accessing safe abortion early. We have seen many delays in terms of transgender health care. The other thing is that we saw a lack of support for those victims who are of gender-based violence, and we saw an increase globally of violence against women and children, and they did not have comprehensive post-survivor support.
The increase in unsafe abortions and unintended pregnancies is worldwide. What actions are you hoping for as you make your report to the UN General Assembly? Are you going to present solutions?
Absolutely. It is my intention always to be positive and forward-looking and make recommendations that are really guided and geared towards restoration of dignity. And one of the things I will be reminding member states is that they have a core obligation to ensure, at the very least, the right to sexual and reproductive health. And this includes access to abortion. We know that in many countries globally, there's been a regression and a pushback on women's rights and autonomy. And it's about reinforcing the very important message that women and girls and people capable of becoming pregnant have a right to make informed decisions about their pregnancy outcomes.
With a lot of member states, though, facing economic slowdowns right now, how will those countries actually move ahead on this?
This is so important, and I speak about the impact of global health funding and financing, about the power imbalances between the developing countries and developed countries. So we need to get to a point where the developing countries have autonomy and the power to make decisions on that aid, so that we are not just importing ideas and imposing them on communities. So there's a particular way you can give aid that facilitates the people you are supporting for them to make decisions and set the agenda, as opposed to giving aid that comes with these preconditions.
Doctor, how do you see the commonalities and connections among women across the globe when it comes to reproductive health?
It's so important because we have seen a global rise of feminist movements and different youth-led movements making particular demands. And I think the thread that connects all of us, it's the desire to not just survive, but also thrive as human beings. And as a medical doctor, I know firsthand how racism influences where spending happens in terms of public health. And I'll give you a very good example. Whether you are giving birth in the United States as a Black American woman, your health outcomes, unfortunately, mirror those of women in the third world or so-called developing countries, simply because of how racism and resourcing of particular communities, you know, is determined. And so we have to really look also at health outcomes. And maternal mortality rate is one important example of how, whether you are a developing or developed country, how well you are doing in terms of key human rights.
So, Doctor, you recently wrote an amicus brief to the U.S. Supreme Court in support of the Biden administration's challenge to the abortion ban in Texas. Why?
It's important to realize that fundamentally, the right to health entitles all of us the right to autonomy, to bodily integrity, to dignity. And the practice of medicine in itself should be a protection and a defense for human rights. And what the Mississippi state is proposing is actually inhumane, it's cruelty, and it's taking away the rights of girls and women and people who can be pregnant from making decisions and being autonomous. And these are the very bare minimum in terms of human rights. So my application to the United States Supreme Court is really to reaffirm the right to health and showing how access to abortion is not only good for the individual person, but it's actually beneficial for entire communities when women and girls are affirmed and their rights are protected.
Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng is a UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health, speaking with us from New York, where this week she's presenting her annual report to the UN General Assembly, this year focusing on COVID's impact on reproductive health. Doctor, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.